from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report. California will become the second state in the nation to raise the smoking age to 21. Governor Jerry Brown signed the bill into law last night. Hawaii is the other state. He also signed a bill that would regulate electronic cigarettes. Both are part of a sweeping package of tobacco regulations. KQED health editor Lisa Alaferes reports.
The governor signed five bills. E-cigarettes now will be regulated like tobacco products, and the tobacco age goes from 18 to 21. The goal was to get tobacco out of the hands of 18-year-olds who could share cigarettes with younger friends in high school.
Ecstatic.
Southern California Senator Ed Hernandez wrote the bill raising the tobacco age.
Now we can know that our youth, there's less likely that they're going to be addicted to this horrible drug of tobacco.
The governor was sent six bills and vetoed just one of them, which would have allowed cities and counties to establish their own tobacco taxes. Longtime tobacco critic UC San Francisco professor Stan Glantz jokingly said that veto didn't bother him too much.
The one he vetoed, that was too bad, but I can't complain given the other five.
It's critical to stop young people from starting smoking, experts say, because the adolescent brain is still developing.
That's why the younger someone starts to smoke, the more addicted they tend to get.
The new tobacco age takes effect June 9th. For the California Report, I'm Lisa Alaferes.
Becoming a citizen could get easier for low-income immigrants. Federal immigration officials plan to slash in half the $600 application fee for people earning up to twice the federal poverty level. Here in California, about 300,000 eligible immigrants could benefit. Manuel Pastor directs the Center for the Study of Immigrant Integration at USC.
It's a pretty significant thing, and we should be able to see a step up in the rates of naturalization.
The fee cut will not take effect in time to become a citizen and vote in this year's presidential election. And speaking of presidential elections, it's easy to forget that in California, we have a U.S. Senate race in November, too. Senator Barbara Boxer is retiring, and only one candidate to replace her has any experience in Congress, and that's Loretta Sanchez. Of course, in the year of the outsider, it's no surprise that Sanchez has denied being an insider.
In fact, Washington hasn't changed me. I've been changing Congress for 20 years.
As part of our California Counts election coverage, Kitty Feldy reports on how the Orange County Democrat is regarded on Capitol Hill.
You might say Loretta Sanchez began training for her congressional role early in life. Her sister Linda, also a congresswoman, says the younger kids in the family called her the warden.
When we all got our assignments for chores, Loretta was sort of the supervisor that went around to make sure that we were doing them correctly and reported back to our parents if we were not.
These days, Loretta Sanchez oversees defense spending and policy, as at this House Armed Services Committee hearing.
I'm trying to understand why you want more leeway. I think we need to have actually more oversight. I think we have to have a real audit of the Defense Department.
Despite the serious issues she deals with, the media seem fascinated by her annual Christmas cards, playful pictures of her posing with Kat Gretzky atop a fireplace mantle or astride a motorcycle.
It's always interesting to me that the press loves to pick that up, but rarely have I seen them come and cover the six-hour open meeting we have on trying to figure out how much we're going to spend and whether we're going to, you know, redo our nuclear arsenal.
At the recent Senate debate, one of her Republican opponents accused Sanchez of skipping a lot of committee meetings. Sanchez countered that she, like the rest of Congress, serves on multiple committees and can't be in two places at once. House Republicans back her up on that. Sanchez is the top Democrat on the subcommittee that oversees military procurement. GOP Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio is the chairman.
One of the things that she has on her to-do list is getting the right answer. And so it's always wonderful to benefit from her research, her inquisitiveness, her oversight of DOD.
Sanchez voted against authorizing the Iraq War in 2002, and she pushed the Pentagon to allow women to participate in combat. When you ask Sanchez which bills she can claim as her own, she talks about getting funding for a water reclamation plant in her district and oversight of the Pentagon. Most of all, she speaks about collaboration.
If you don't worry about getting the credit, you get a lot more done.
You have to collaborate when you're not in charge, says Mark Sandalo with the University of California's D.C. program.
Virtually the entire time Loretta Sanchez has been in the House, she's been in the minority. Minority members do not get a chance to bring bills to the floor. Republicans won't let them do that.
Sanchez does have a reputation for being, well, a little flaky. Sandalo says Sanchez's style is more California casual.
Washington remains a very buttoned-down, uptight place. The kind of place where if you head into certain restaurants and you're not wearing a tie, they hand you a tie to put on to make sure it's appropriate. Loretta Sanchez is not part of that culture.
Sanchez doesn't always help herself. Her comments after the San Bernardino terrorist attack upset many Muslim Americans. She also offended Native Americans during an incident that went viral on social media. Sanchez describes herself as substantive, but with a sense of humor.
Sometimes people see that and they say, oh my gosh, you know, can we take her seriously? And the answer is, ask my colleagues, they'll tell you, I'm extremely serious about my work.
Sanchez will find out how seriously voters take her on June 7th. Under the state's primary rules, the top two finishers face off in November. For the California Report, I'm Kitty Feldy in Washington.
And that's a California Report for Thursday, May 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Quina Kim. This is a California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Wharton San Francisco, where executives can pursue an MBA immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access Wharton's globally connected network. Learn more at wharton.upenn.edu. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.